If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Psalms 54. And this is what it says in the beginning. Answered prayer for deliverance from your adversaries. I just thought, oh boy, Lord. And more confirmation.
Hallelujah.
So it's good that God is helping us. Verse 1. If you would stand for the word of God, I appreciate that. Thank you. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is those who upholds my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. He has delivered me out of all
trouble.
My favorite word, trouble. And my eye has seen its desires upon my enemies.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Is that not a good word?
That's good.
So Lord, we just thank you for your word. We seal it in our hearts. And we give you glory and praise for what you're doing for your people, for your children. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You are such a good, good God. You're absolutely good for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thanks, Grant. I know this looks a little tacky, but I couldn't find a big enough container with water. My voice is really kind of been shot for quite some time here. So forgive me. Now, I wanted to do a little bit of teaching. The Lord laid this on my heart. And I want you to see the word up here. Most people pronounce it Haggai. Or they'll say, but it's not pronounced that way at all. I have been in churches in different places, and people say, we're going to study the book of Haggai. It is pronounced Haggai. Even our phonetics, we wouldn't put G-A-I as gay. So it's Haggai is the proper pronunciation. So I want you to know that. It's kind of a little teaching golden nugget for you today. And Haggai is very small in the Bible. And if I said, okay, we're going to have a Bible quiz, everybody turn to that book of the Bible, most people wouldn't even know where it is. And so that many preachers don't even talk about it. Because most of the time if I said Hebrews, you know Hebrews, that's written to the Christian. Or we've talked about 1st and 2nd Kings because a lot of that's what's going on right now. Or we'll talk about Corinthians. No one has any problem with that. But no one knows Haggai. Haggai. And so I'm going to tell you some things about it, and I want you to find it. And, excuse me. It is just behind Zephaniah. And you might never hear much about that one. And and if you and then Zechariah. Now a lot of us have heard Zechariah before, but they haven't heard Haggai. And Haggai is really written to the Jewish people. Now I like you to know things like that, but it is also something in there for us. Has everybody found it? Yes.
Come on. Well, there's some characters in Haggai that I want you to know because I want to set a foundation before I teach. Let's see what the Holy Spirit is going to show me. But you're going to hear about a signet ring. And a signet ring is a ring, like when the kids graduate from high school, you kids will get a diploma. And there's kind of like a seal in it. Well, when you graduate from college, there's a seal in it. Special documents have what we call a seal. But in the
back, I guess you could just say in the Old Testament time, they would take a signet ring and they would put it, they would put a little bit of wax down and they'd take their ring and they would, you know, push it into that wax and it was a seal. And yes, sometimes it did seal a letter, but no matter who you were, you knew the value of that, where it was coming from, that signet ring. Did it make sense to you? Do you understand that? I really want you to understand it. And the Lord said that when you become born again, you are sealed by Him. And He takes His signet ring and seals your documents that you belong to Him. And why that is so powerful is because it is about the covenant. You have covenant rights when you belong to Him. Everybody does not. So even when the enemy comes to attack you, you can say, hey, I belong to Jesus. You have no covenant rights to me. And I really want you to understand that signet ring. I also want you to know that there are two prophets. Right now, there are prophets and prophetesses that are speaking. Some it is their office. Some it is their call. Big difference. The prophets are hearing directly from the Lord. And when the Lord uses them, that would be different ones that I feel Joe and I have shared with you. They hear directly from God. They're not accountable to man. They're not accountable to our government. They're not accountable to anybody but God Himself. During Haggai's time, the prophet was Haggai and Zechariah. Zerubbabel, he was like a governor. And he was a governor of Judah. And then, who was a high priest? You know, like we have apostles and pastors, and we have the fivefold ministry. I've taught you on that before. The high priest, the pastor, the apostle, back in this time, it was Joshua. Totally different. They actually switch roles throughout the word, but I want to give you that because it's important for you to understand it. So the two prophets was Haggai and Zechariah. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, and Joshua was the high priest. And throughout this word, which I am going to read this morning, what the Holy Spirit showed me was this, that there are pressures, there are demands, there are expectations, and there are tasks that we have to do. And for some of us, it comes from all sides. Do this. Do that. Well, why don't you have that finished? Get it finished. I want you to call them. I want you to call them now. And it seems as though everybody wants something from us. And that's part of what Haggai is about. There was a lot of crazy stuff going on at that time. But God is trying to show you and me today that He is number one. I think it was last Sunday, I talked to you about idols. And you might not worship a different idol, but when you don't take time and make the Lord first, that means you have idols that you are worshiping. I got really ticked off, Chris. You didn't like this, Chris Sr. I said, Joe, this makes me really mad because all that football stuff is back on basketball, blah, 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 blah. Like, look at that basketball stuff. Look at those crowds of basketball, you know, I'm just having this fit.
Chuckles. What'd you call them? These were like finals or something?
Yeah, these were not like,
well, where's ours?
You know, I'm a different kingdom here.
Right.
But you know, the Lord wants to teach us something in this. But you have to understand, it's like a parallel of what it was like back then to there. The Lord said for me to say it this way. He said, what is important to you? What do you put first in your life? There are calls on people's lives, whether you are male, female, or kids, that the Lord has told you to do. And either you do them out of obedience, or you can deal with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how else to put it. But we all have that. There are a lot of women that are being called into the ministry more and more. But the religious spirit needs to bow down.
Amen. Yes.
And the religious spirit only allows men to be in the pulpit. And there's a lot of shaking going on, probably the last 3 years with that. So there are many women that have now become ministers of the word because God called them. And so if you're one of the people that are in here that has a religious spirit because you were never taught that God's not interested, whether you are a male or female, if he calls you to do his word, you're going to do it.
Amen.
In ministering yesterday, there was a woman who the Lord had called into ministry, but her husband was already a minister. And so there was a conflict like this. But you see, sometimes the Lord calls this person to do what he wants them to do. The Lord calls this person to do what they're to do. But when you are one flesh, the Lord takes both of those, giving and taking, and you become one.
Amen.
Amen.
It's powerful. And so I felt that I could use, you could ask Karen, an example of Joe and I, how we work as a team. I really feel Joe really has pastoral skills.
Yes.
More than I do. I am more prophetic, and I really move in the apostolic, as well as evangelism. But I know that Joe has a stronger heart than I do for you people. I mean, I love you people. I don't want you to misunderstand. But what I'm saying is, I do believe that, and I can share that. But the Lord has allowed Joe and I to be able to do things together, and I don't see that happening. But the three of us who were ministering up front, we were all going through this. Their husbands were all full-time ministers, and they ministered along with them. And there was one person. Well, see, Joe and I have been married 43 years. There was another one of them that was I was ministering with. They were married for 43 years, and the other one was 42, so I was sharing with him. And so the Lord was allowing us to help and minister to some of the women that were there. You know that you can't backbite your husband and do things like that, but you have to do what the Lord told you to do. And one of the things that our kids had to deal with us coming up here and everything, and this is how I feel and why I like to speak this. Haggai, and the other prophet, Zechariah, they had to hear from the Lord and do what the Lord told them to do. So let's look at it. In the second year of King Darius. Now, most of us know King Darius. He was the Persian king, and most of you know, for such a time as this, and you know about Esther, well, King Darius was the king. He was a Persian king. A lot of people believe that Darius, So on the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of, I can't even say it, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, who was the high priest. And I just told you that, so there it is in the word. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and your temple, well, the temple, to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The Lord says that to all of us sitting here, including myself. Consider your ways. You have sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't seem to have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with the drink. You clothe yourself, but you know, hey, no one's warm. You have to wear your long johns. And he who earns wages to put into a bag without holes, with holes, excuse me. So all the money you get and everything you do, there's holes in your bags and all the money flows out. You go, oh, where's my money? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay for this house payment? How am I going to do this? Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, said the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came too little. And when you brought it home, I just blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs for his own house. Verse 10. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth without its fruit. Verse 11. Very powerful. Cause you circle it. For I called for a drought of the land and the mountains and on the grain and the new wine and the oil on whatever the ground brings forth on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of, and Joshua, the son who was the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Do you remember what I told you, that in the Old Testament they had no problem understanding the presence of God, but they had to bring their sacrifice, and there were two people that brought in second best. They were killed. So I don't know about you, but thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, his mercy and his grace, because half of us would have been killed a long time ago. I'm serious. We're still under grace and mercy right now. How long? Who knows? Verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, important, every prophet and prophetess that comes before you is a messenger of the Lord. spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And he has said that so many times to Hilltop Tabernacle and every person that comes in the door. So the Lord, look at this, I love this. 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son or the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnants of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, verse 3, who is left among you who saw the temple, for in its former glory, and how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? There was no problem with how magnificent the temple was. It was beautiful. I used to know, and I'm really sorry, I don't know anymore, but the value and the gold and everything, and oh my gosh, how expensive the temple was. It was just magnificent. But hey, you know, time went on and they just let it go. And truthfully, it was burnt down as well. So the Lord is saying this. How important is Hilltop Tabernacle to you? How important is it that we come here? How important is the things that have to be done here important to you? They should be first place. This is, you are the church, but this is still his dwelling place. And he gives us spiritual, I don't know how to say it, but spiritual wisdom, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, so we know what we're supposed to be doing. And he said in verse 4, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the high priest, and all your people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, that's like the promises that we have today because of Jesus Christ. So my spirit, capital S, I told you that was the Holy Spirit. My spirit remains among you, do not fear. The cross reference to that is Nehemiah. We have the right one. Nehemiah 9:20. Because Nehemiah looked and saw how the city and the walls were destroyed, and he cried. He wanted to see it rebuilt. And if you remember, my teachings about Nehemiah was that the enemy, the wolves that came, were not from all outside the walls. They were from within. Sam Ballett, he could look him in the face and pierce him in the back. And the Lord said that to me again. If you are here and you belong here, lift each other up. Pray for each other. I don't live your life. I don't even know, you know, you explain certain things to me. I don't understand it all. But I can pray for you. That's all I can do is pray for you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to help. And so often, we want to do the Holy Spirit's job. Ooh, I think that's pretty strong. Yeah. once more, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill the temple with his glory, the glory of the Lord, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
You see, this is really important.
Because this is now.
Because this is right now.
Amen.
I had a vision, and I tried to draw with this paint stick and all this on here. And it was probably about like this. I said, Lord, it's got to be bigger. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be bigger. So the Lord allowed me to go to the printer in Frankfurt. And I saw the Lord's hands over the world. And that was part of my drawing over the nations, as we would say today. And people that are listening, the Lord is over the nations.
Yeah.
So when we pray for people, like I said Friday, we say, Jesus, you know, cover the Ukraine. Lord, cover Russia. Lord, cover. And the reason we do that is because there are many innocent people out there. The Lord loves us all of us. And anyways, I took this hoping that they could blow my picture up. I forgot to tell her that. I just asked her to blow up these other pictures I want to use for kids if they want to carry them in. And my picture ministered to the woman who is the head graphic person at the printing place in Frankfurt. And so I walk in, I showed it to Joe, truth. And she blew it up like this. It's magnificent. And she goes, did you know, and I didn't notice. Did you notice what I did? Oh yes, thank you very much for making me some extra flyers. Thank you for, you know. She goes, no, Pastor Marie. She said, no, did you notice the, just doing this, I'm going. And she said, did you notice the picture? And she has it in the front, and I showed it to Joe. But it was so exciting that she blew it up, and she said, I love that picture. She says, that shows God's praying for everybody.
Yeah.
And I went, you're right. He loves everybody. And I'm in this printing place, and you know, my voice. And so, anyways, we get in this great conversation, and come to find out, this is true. In the conversation, she lived in Davison, where we lived. She went to White Junior High, which is in Lapeer, where I taught at for quite a few years.
Oh, wow.
She went to Lapeer East High School, where I taught at. And I said, well, before the Lord started using me here at Hilltop, I said, you know, I taught school for 33 years, and I said, that's a large range, but I said, my favorite, I did 8th, 9th, and 10th graders, and I taught 12th graders as well, but, you know, I'm kind of giving this history. And she goes, all of a sudden, she goes, well, you wouldn't want anything to do with me. Sorry? I mean, I'm just picking up and printing. Come to find out, she said, well, there was some teacher who taught the goth kids. And it was like, you know, the kids don't say first hour, second hour. The last, it was like the last of the day, you know, like it was the very last class. I said, could I have been that teacher? I said, I wanted to understand the goth people. I've talked about it from my pulpit. I'm talking this out loud in this printing place. And I said, you know, I said, maybe you were one of my students. But I had 165 every year. And so I was making that comment. She said, well, it could have been me or it could have been my younger sister. She said, you know, I was a goth. And she said, I had all the, you know, the sharp point things, and they love black. And I said, you know, I says, you know, I love black. I love black shirts, black pants. And I said, you know what? I remember walking into my 6-hour class, and they were so excited because they had a teacher that wore black instead of blue jeans and whatever. And I said, you know, I just fit right in. Did you get that? And she kind of looked at me, and she said this. She said, you know what? When I became born again, I gave my heart to the Lord. He took all that crap, and he gave me a new life. Gave me a marriage, and gave me kids.
Hallelujah.
And I said, hallelujah, isn't God good, like that? And the guy who was like laminating a poster for me in the back, he goes, amen! We had a revival in the pretty place, and I was flying. Because here was a person that was from my hometown, up here permanently living, went to the junior high and the high school I went to, and I got... We had this communication. I mean, what a small world. Yeah. I was so excited. I got out in the car, and I called my Sarah right away because, you know, who am I supposed to talk to who even listen to me anymore? And so anyways, I called her, and I said, Sarah, Mom's got to tell you what I did. She goes, okay, Mom, who'd you talk to today? Were you at Walmart?
She knows you too well.
Yeah. I said, no, I was at the printing place. The printing place. And so I told her the whole story that I just told you, and she goes, oh, Mom. Oh, Mom. So it was kind of fun. You see, what I'm trying to even mention is, this Haggai, he got a vision from the Lord. He was told what he had to do. Many of you have gifts. And you're to do what the Lord wants you to do with that gift. I don't want to stifle that. Is that making sense? And anyways, thank you, Lord. Verse 9 says, the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
Says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give you peace, says the Lord of hosts. I don't know if you know that or not, but we have people that just come into our sanctuary for peace. And they'll sit in here and they'll go, would you care about coming to in that room over there and praying? And they fall asleep. And I'm working in the office or doing whatever. You see, there's peace when you're in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Lord. Please hear that. You want peace in your house? Make him first.
Amen.
You do not have to, what is the right way to put it? You don't have to apologize for the Lord. You don't have to defend the Lord. He can defend himself. Mm-hmm. And I heard a person, I think it was, I don't know if we were watching YouTube or whatever. And you know, hey, this is all great, all the things we're doing. Really, we're just practicing for what the Lord's got for us to do in heaven.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah, amen.
I said, oh, Lord, you mean I'm going to have 2 decent legs and I can dance up there for you and flag and do all the stuff I like to do? Uh-huh. Hey. I get to sing up there. Oh, can you imagine the heavenly sound? I mean, I can play these jumbas and congas and all that, you know, because I like to be loud. Heaven's loud. But there's something powerful here that maybe you never was taught about the rain. That's talking about the glory. In God's glory, healing takes place, and no man has to touch another person. When the glory comes, the whole place is on fire, set free, whatever.
I felt like, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what I felt. This is my emotion. When we were talking about the fire of the Lord and the golden oil and the light and all that and how it was flowing, that's His glory. His glory is like a cloud. Sometimes it can just be His presence coming. Are you kind of with me? It's very hard to explain the glory of the Lord. But when the glory comes, Chris made a comment. He saw like whirlwinds, snow, tornadoes, they call them. And Karen came, we were coming to the driveway. Karen says, oh, look at the whirlwinds that are going around the cross, stuff like that. The glory can actually look like a whirlwind.
Yep.
It can stir a lot of stuff up. But it said here that when you're building the temple, that His glory will be greater now than what it was back then.
Oh my goodness.
Can you, that's in scripture. I'm not making it up. Excuse me, I gotta get a Kleenex. One of the things that, I don't know how to explain, I wish I did, but when the sacrifice was made on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, God back then, Jesus hadn't come. God could accept that sacrifice or not. If He accepted it, it's like snap your hands like this. It's like the glory just zoomed up off of that mercy seat. Joe and I got to see that. I think I showed it to Karen when we went there. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. I have only seen the glory 3 times. And we were praising and worshiping the Lord and, you know, kind of like, I say this to Joe all the time, he goes, you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's presence will come on you so much, I don't even know where I'm at. I don't know if I'm here playing or, because I try to get before Him. I try to get in His presence. Let His glory fill me up so that, hey, you ain't seeing just me. I'm human. But you're seeing the glory of God. The glory of God is so powerful that it can heal you snapping your finger. It can come into a room and just fill the room up and people are healed, set free, delivered. I don't know how else to explain it. And Chris Jr. said something to me, and I will never forget it, and I know he doesn't know the impact of the whole thing. But he said, well, I was like just talking to you about the vision. You don't know everything that's going on, but the vision of the temple. And Chris leaned over to me or came beside me, and he said, you know what I saw over the tent? I thought, because I saw a shofar. It was huge, and it was over the whole top of the tent. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a clarion call.
That is.
That means that when Chris had the vision of that, angels are present, and they're blowing the shofar saying, come, come, come dwell, come. That's a call, a clarion call. Because it's not coming from you and me, it's coming from the Spirit of God. So I wanted Chris to know how powerful that was of what he saw in the Spirit. But the Lord said that the latter glory would be better than the first.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
We're ready.
Yes.
We need it.
So be ready. Get prepared.
We need it.
Be in prayer. Because you can only do so much. But, you know, when that anointing comes, it's powerful. It's like you have that experience that you won't ever forget. I don't know how else to explain. And I remember we were singing the chorus, Hallelujah. And if you don't know that, that's what you're going to sing in heaven. One of them. Because everybody knows that language, wherever they are, whatever nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And
I remember seeing that glory cloud coming, and we're, you know, you're in mics, and the mics can pick up on the blow of your nose, or you sneeze, or you knock something down like I do half the time. And the person I was standing next to went, did you see that? I was echoing, did you see that? And we were watching it, and this glory was coming into this church that we belonged to, but it looked like a cloud, and you thought, well, what's someone cooking? I'm really serious, I'm trying to be off the wall. We didn't even know what it was. We had no idea. And then it just backed right out the door. It came so far in and backed out. Well, the pastor that we were under, a whole bunch of us, believe me, after all the ministering and everything went on, went over to her and said, what was that? Was there a fire in the place? Oh yes, there was a fire in the place. We knew it. We saw it. That was the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just think that's so powerful. I want to share that. Oh, Lord, let me hear you. Verse 10 said, on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches the bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it be holy? And when the priest answered, he said no. You see, they didn't have the blood of Jesus Christ. They weren't sent, you and I are sanctified by the blood. But you know, back here, no matter what you offer, it had to be of the Lord. Are you kind of hearing me? Okay. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of the dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it's unclean. So when Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of the hands and what offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. And the meaning behind that is he was a cornerstone. And I never understood that when I was in my 20s and 30s. Cornerstone, what the hell does that mean? And what I discovered was that cornerstone is what made everything else line up. So when we make him first, we line up out of obedience and everything flows right. Isn't that good? I think that's good. But I also want you to know that that Haggai, and that's where I'm going to stop for a little bit, but it took place in 586 before Christ, and the temple was destroyed. But what was so amazing was that Cyrus the king declared that they could return back and build the temple, rebuild the temple. He claimed that. He said, go. I mean, really, that's a miracle in itself. But it shows that they started building the temple, did what they had to do, and then it says this. Listen to this. They forgot their purpose. They forgot their priority. They forgot what they were supposed to be doing. Isn't that good? I mean, this is how the Lord highlighted this for me.
Awesome.
And this is what the Lord said to him. A lot of us forget our priorities. He should be number one. I don't care what you're doing. Anybody that I marry, and I can even tell you when Sean and Sarah got married, I said, Sean, Mom wants you to know that if you don't make the Lord number one in your life, this marriage will be done. He looked at me and went, well, Mom, we love each other. Oh, there's somebody here. We love each other, Mom. That has nothing to do with it. You have to make him one. You have to give him priority in your life. Everything that you do, he has to be first. I love my job. I love my job. I love my children. But he is...
Karen.
Don't open it.
Don't open it. He's calling him over.
Chris has got it.
Yeah.
So, and I want you to really hear that, that he has to be number one. And the Lord said this to me, what are you putting in your temple? You know, when I was young, they used to say, you know, that what you ate and the look you are and everything, you know, like your temple should be the temple of the Lord. And it's true.
Amen.
But it has nothing to do with the shape you're at, what kind of makeup you wear, or whatever is going on. What it has to do with was what are you feeding that temple? And I'm not talking about food and like that. I'm talking about what are you feeding your temple? Are you in the Word feeding the temple? Is that not good?
Yes.
I thought that
awesome.
Was good from the Lord. Then Haggai spoke, calling them back to God's value. So one of the jobs of a prophet or a prophetess is saying, get your act together, Kim. Get your act together, Kim. The Lord says, you got to do this. Chris, get your act together. You see, if that's what a prophet does. If he hears that from the Lord, there has to come someone that the Lord uses to say, hey, this has got to be done. And you have to be able to do that. And the people were more concerned about how beautiful is my house. And I want you to hear this from the Lord. When you take care of God's temple, you take care of God's house, you take care of you, you fill you up, God will give you a beautiful house.
That's right. That's right.
But he has to be first.
Yeah.
And I love that because the Lord said, what an important thing today. Most people would rather be at home, would rather be doing their thing, would be rather watching the basketball game, be doing different things. And the Lord is saying, make me first. Why can you not be in my house on time and be here and be, hey, Lord, what do you got for me today? And you take that, you put it into your temple, you go home, you read your word. Vicki told you her whole format. You take that and you build yourself up in the Lord and you do what he tells you to do. But you have to do his ways. And he does send people for that. And right now, hopefully you understand that you're seeing the people that are the apostles and the prophets and the prophetesses right now. But as we get closer, the season's changing, and you're going to see the evangelists at work. And you're going to, And the Lord said this over and over again. I hope you picked up on it throughout what I read in Haggai. It says, give care to your thoughts. Give care to your thoughts and to your ways. I don't know about you, that's pretty powerful. What are you about? Haggai is really such a small book, but so powerful for today. Two chapters? Consider the minor prophet? He was a minor prophet. But how valuable he was to know how important it is to build the temple of the Lord first. Your temple first and get filled up with him. So truthfully, I don't know about you, but we need to get back to doing God's work. And we got a good church here. We got people that are involved. We got people that do different things. But you see, we got to get back to what he wants us to be doing. This is a new season. This is a new era. And I really feel like the Lord is saying, where is your priorities at? I mean, if I hadn't obeyed the Lord and gone to that conference, I mean, the Lord allowed me to minister, and I'm humbled by that. What a privilege it is. Even like, I think when Karen stood behind the pulpit, was it two Sundays ago or something like that? You said, oh, I'm a little nervous. Hey, when you get behind this pulpit, or I've had people that, you know, have been on the praise team, and I heard it from Kim. Kim, you said to me, wow, you could really feel the presence. It was like, whoa, there's a responsibility here. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that's what the Lord's wanting for us, to understand that our temple has to be so full of Him. And I spoke over and over again about truth. I spoke about wisdom and everything. But you are the salt, and you are the light.
Amen.
You have something to give out there, but you can't give it out of yourself because it isn't going to do anything.
No.
But when you get so filled up on Him, whoo, it'll just flow. You know, it'll just go. It's just so full. But your priorities is you need to spend time in His presence, praying. I know different people that are fasting right now. I don't know. It could be a meal. You know, when I came up here, all that I heard was people, they were doing the Daniel's fast. And I'd say, why? Did the Lord tell you to do Daniel's fast? Did your pastor tell you to do a fast? I mean, people just thought, well, that was the only fast they knew about. Well, I'm doing a fast because I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Oh, really? Well, then go do the keto. That's not what the fast is in the Word. The fast in the Word is when you're entering you. It could be a meal. It could be just one meal. It could be your favorite chocolate shake that I wish I could have someday. But a chocolate shake that maybe you love that every day. Or maybe the Lord don't want you for a period of time to have a chocolate shake. You might go, oh my gosh. Well, that is a fast. Could be coffee.
Could be TV.
It could be TV. It could be all kinds of things. But the point of it is that you get, the point of it is that you get in His presence and your temple gets refilled back up. Because if you don't fill it up, you can't give it out. Truthfully, every message, pastors can get annual, they're called pastoral annuals. And they can get sermons from these annuals, they're books. And that's what they could preach. I have never preached from this pulpit here in the years that Joe and I have been here if it hadn't been given from the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I could take all these sermons, put them together, and publish them because they're from the Holy Spirit. You understand that? It is very important that you understand that this. You might be getting different things out of this, but there's something in that from the Holy Spirit individually to you, to your temple. Something you should be doing with it. And the other thing I heard from the Lord is for Him to be first place, and He will guarantee, because it does say that, I think He said this, that He's chosen you. Everybody in here, He's chosen you. You are important to Him. You don't have to be like me. You ever try to go into someone else's shoes or do what they're doing? You go, oh my God, I didn't know that's all that took place. Or, you know what I mean? He has different callings for different people. But God said this, and He's proclaiming it to each one of us, that we have something to do to build our temple up that's getting with Him. And truthfully, building this tabernacle, this house up here. And the Lord said this. This is what He said. And I go, oh, I'm all finished. Oh, thank you, Lord. He said, quit worrying. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't have money. I can't pay my bills. I can't pay my rent. I have nobody to help me with this. I can't move. Blah, blah, blah. Well, then give it to the Lord. Because it's not going to do you any good to be worrying about it. It's just going to make you sick. Second thing He said is get motivated. Get going. Get up. And to build your temple, build this temple. Build the temple that I really feel the Lord's doing for this revival. It's going to be so different. Different than you can ever imagine. And He will give you the strength and the purpose for why you're here. One of the things... That's what He gave you for KA. He obeyed. And they got the temple rebuilt. Place to worship. I think it's awesome.
I mean, truthfully, with hands, how many of you really heard a message from this book in the Bible? What did you get out of it?
In him with the seed that he had given to us, that this generation would not die away, that it would grow and glorify the Lord.
It would be greater.
It would be greater. And the date that I see in my Bible from standing here in it is 10/6/09. And I said this to the Lord many times. I said, you know, Lord, I'm getting older now. I served you all my life. Is there somebody else that you're going to bring to take over this? You know, there's different things. I still go out and preach his word in different places. But I said, you know, Joe and I are getting older, and I just want to spend time with Joe. That's what I told him. And I said, I just want to get a camper, and I want us just to go places and have fun together, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I was sharing this with Joe. It was just a couple days ago, Joe, and we were praying for different things that the Lord had led on our hearts. And I told y'all that's what I felt. And I struggled with it. And the Lord had woke me up and said, you weren't born for it. And I said, the Lord, weren't born for what? He said, you were born to give my word. Not born to give in a camper. Doesn't mean you can't go on a camping trip. I don't know if you misunderstood.
Right. That's maybe your life.
But it wasn't to be my life.
Right.
And that was just a couple of days ago. I don't know. And I said to Joe,
maybe you'll be the traveling camper preacher.
Yeah, that'd be something. But I just kind of
here they come.
You know, it was just so quiet. And then he goes, you weren't born for that. And every one of us were born for a reason. We have something to do. And I talk to these young kids all the time. You know, I don't remember how when it was when you first came, Chris, to this church. But I remember seeing the call that was on Chris Jr.'s life. When was it?
2015.
And I remember seeing the call on his life, you know, in the spirit. And now look what Chris does. You see, he's moved more and more into it. It's just the beginning. So what I'm saying is God has something for each one of us to do, and I wanted to share that. But hopefully you got something that what's going to happen is actually going to be greater
that was happened in the old days.
Amen.
You know, and I think that's exciting to me.
That's awesome. He's launching us.
Yeah, it's like he's telling us to keep going. And, you know, I think it's a
new platform.
Huh?
He keeps raising that. We're continually getting tested, and he's lifting us up to a new platform.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I loved it when I first heard Brenda and Hank Kuhnman when they said, you know, the Lord's moving up you up to a new level.
That's right.
And I thought, yeah, be kidding me. What else is there? You know? And truthfully, I'm not trying to be off the wall. You know, I've seen people, healings with people. I've seen arms grow out. Yeah. I've seen the glory cloud, you know, I walked with you, Lord, you know, I'm serious. And you know, a couple of years ago, I thought the Lord was taking me home, but you know, I guess Joe and I are still here. So keep praying, because he still has things for us to do, but with all my heart, he has things for you to do.
We're calling in the harvest.
We're calling in the harvest.
Amen.
Don't take it lightly. Don't feel like you're not important. You know, I had someone say, hey, you know, I wish I was up here on the praise team. You just don't want me on the praise team. And I'm thinking, did I say that person I didn't want on the praise team? You know, like you kind of question yourself. But that was the spirit I was talking to. They just felt like they belonged up here, and that was it. Well, you know, you need to come and talk to Joe and I if there's something that you feel that you should be doing. And, you know, I always take it before the Lord, like I've opened up the door a little bit in regards to letting Pastor Denny preach. And I've opened the door up to let Vicki, because I believe Vicki's eldership. I think if you want to know the word of God, you can go to Vicki.
Yeah.
And if we ain't here, you can find Vicki.
Right.
Okay. And I know Karen knows the word. The Lord's stepping her more into that. But Karen's done so much for this house, you guys have no idea. So when she's working, it's like, where is that toilet paper? Where are those cups at?
Yep.
There is, you know. And I'm not trying to be off the wall, Joe, and I want you to know we're very thankful for what you're doing, but he wants to step you up more than that.
Yes.
And so that's why I let Karen preach. I wanted her to have that opportunity to do this. And so I let Kim come up on the praise team. So I still have a responsibility, what I have to do with the Lord and what he wants to be done in this house. I'm accountable for that. But I want you to know you all have jobs to do. And we truthfully cannot do it without you. And so if we don't thank you enough, well, thank you. And I think Joe's, like I said, got a more generous heart than I do about thanking people. But I do want you to know how important you are. And don't take it lightly. People are watching you. People are watching you. Really watching you. In fact, Melissa, when I saw her yesterday, she said she was coming here to church. We know how bad the roads were. I didn't expect it when we got out on the roads. But you know, people will come to get filled up and then, and I'm used to fill the church. You know, this is what it's all about. But it's not about these walls. You're the church.
Yeah. Right.
You have to fill your temple and get out there.
Yep.
It's so important right now that you step out in what he wants you to do. That's why on the back of this bulletin, inside your bulletin, take time. Down here it says, God's message for you out of Haggai. I put it in there. I couldn't get it maybe as large as I wanted. But it says, we are also here to build God's temple. And I gave you all the scriptural references. I says, God's covenant love is available to all of us. You are loved by Joe and I. You are important to us. Sometimes I have a different responsibility because I might, you know, discipline you in some way by the Holy Spirit, but I try to do that out of love. But truthfully, I could probably take your head off. Whereas Joe is more compassionate about it. And then God works through a flawed people to bring about his glorification. We are all flawed. All of us. Do we want to build God's house? Now is the time to build up the messy lives around us. We may suffer as we try to help others see the truth, because I spoke about the truth, and I'm amazed. Do you know the prophets talked about the truth? I think it was last Sunday. But God is with us saying, be strong, do his work,
and do not fear the Holy Spirit. I put that right in your bulletin.
Hallelujah.
So you can read that and you can hear it, and that's what this whole message was about. And hopefully you got something out of it. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen.
So Father, I just ask for you to seal this message, that you make it real. Father, help us to build our temples up, Father, that we get in your presence, we spend time with you, that we hunger for you, Father. Father, help us to make you first in our lives. Father, I ask that you seal everybody here by your precious blood, that you protect them throughout the week, Lord God, and that, Father, that as we even take communion today, Father, we remember, not out of ritual, but we remember what you did for us. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that we are grafted in. That we are grafted in with the Jewish people.
Hallelujah.
That, Father, that we are one. Make us unified, Father. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. And seal us with your signet ring. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't go there.